There we go.
You felt Linda in there.
Yes.
Yes!
In between us.
Okay, well, that's how it works.
Yes.
You get an A.
But he says in verse 20, there will I meet with thee, and there will I commune. Ah, that word commune. In the Hebrew, the word is dabar, and it means to speak, to declare, to converse, to command, to promise, to sing. Now, what we just saw here is a picture of what? It's a picture of worship.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's a picture of worship because what we're really seeing is the mercy seat. Okay? And he says, there will I dabar, there will I speak, there will I declare, there will I converse, there will I command, there will I promise, there will I sing. Ha ha! There will I, that's what he said, there will I sing. Now, I'm all for singing to God, okay? And that's a good thing. But how much better when he sings?
Amen.
Yeah. He says, there will I sing. It's a primitive root, and it means to arrange, to speak, to subdue. So from that place of between the wings of the chair, from that place of worship, God's voice goes forth, and it's not just a nice singing voice. It is something that brings things into proper arrangement. Proper alignment. He speaks and he subdues things from that place. And that's the place we want to go in worship. Is yes, we are those cherubim. It's a picture of us stretching forth our wings on high with our faces toward the mercy seat. But then God begins to sing right in the middle of that. See, that's what we're after. Now, the cherubim and the ark, they were in the most holy place. Right?
Amen.
They were in the Holy of Holies. And that, from between the ark, from between the cherubim, that is where the Shekinah glory, the manifested glory of God dwelt.
Amen.
Now we know that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Okay, we can feel Him everywhere, and that's a good thing. But this is His manifested presence. And that's what we're after. Can you hear me? And it's from that place of His manifested presence that this prayer comes forth. Matthew 6:10, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in the earth. Because He's the one who is singing, and things come into alignment, things come into order, things are subdued. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. That is like the tabernacle of David that we talked about last night. It's not just that place of intimacy with Him. It is for the purpose of establishing the throne of God in the earth.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, for some churches, their paradigm is the praise and the worship is there to work as a plow. Okay? To kind of plow up the ground in the heart. Just to soften things up so that then when the seed of the word comes, it'll go into a plowed ground. Now that's fine for some churches. And if you're one of those churches, that's okay. But I would encourage you to go a little further. Okay? That the worship be not just a plow. Get yourself plowed up before you get here. Okay?
Amen.
You got plowing to do. Get it over before you get here. Come prepared so that we're not just doing this plow thing. And we are those who ascend into the heavenlies, apprehend the will of God, and manifest it in the earth.
Amen.
Now that's a whole lot more better.
Amen.
Now it's okay if you're going to do the other thing. And what I found is when you decide that is our objective, that even when people come in and they're not plowed, they get plowed pretty
quick. Yes, they do.
They get plowed real quick.
Amen.
So the other can happen simultaneously. It's like, you know, we're always concerned about our needs. You know, God meet our needs. God meet our needs. Well, I have found that when He is my need, suddenly all of my needs are met.
Amen.
Okay? It's the same principle there. Yeah, that thing of plying up the heart for the seed and word. So if you got unbelievers that come in or whatever, you know, that will happen if you're pressing in to a higher place. It's going to happen. Okay? Basically, we are here to. It's the other thing is really a man focus. It's a focus on man, and I understand that we are to minister to people and yada yada, but to orchestrate things, you know, to where it works up, you know, works the soul and works the emotion to get them in a point where, yeah, that's okay, but that's still a man focus. Let's have God focus, okay? So that our focus is to really, it's the heart of God. Let's tap into the heart of God, okay? Let's tap into... See, there's already worship going on all around us. The heavenlies are filled with worship. Amen. And see, what we want to do is simply tap in to the frequency that's already resonating.
Amen.
Now, what does that sound like? I don't know. We just tap in. Does that mean I can't choose some songs? No, that you still choose songs. You need to do all that kind of normal stuff. It's just you have the ability. You're not stuck to the song list, and you're not stuck to, okay, we do the chorus three times, then we do, you know. Don't get stuck in all that kind of silliness. You know, just have a, it's like a train track. You know, have a track, but just understand that God might stick a penny on your track, and you might suddenly be derailed off your track, but you're going in the direction you're supposed to, okay?
Amen.
So we tap into that frequency of the worship that's already happening all around us in the heavenlies, and we bring that, apprehend that proceeding word. See, God's always speaking. God has never stopped speaking. How did God create things? In the beginning, God spoke, right? Well, He hasn't stopped. He is still speaking into creation. What we want to do is tap into that voice and then resonate that voice in the earth. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Signs and wonders will follow.
Yeah, man. Basically, what we're doing is we are forcing a collision of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Okay? In other words, we become really just a conduit of heaven. Isaiah 16:5. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging, seeking judgment, and hasting righteousness. In mercy shall the throne be established. And it all happens within this context of the tabernacle of David. And the tabernacle of David is really all about intimacy and tapping into that oneness so that we feel what he feels, we think what he thinks, and we speak what he speaks, and we sing what he sings, because even though, yes, between the wings of the cherub, God sings, he still needs a voice in the earth.
Amen.
Who's that going to be?
Us.
It's us. Now, as we do this, the message, or the seed of the word, is going forth. I had some folks recently that talked to me, and, you know, they, Doug, why are we going in worship so long? Can't we just get to the word? And I'm like, well, you've got to understand something. If you are waiting for the preaching to hear the word of the Lord, you have missed half of it already.
Amen.
Because this is the word of the Lord. Now, if we're just doing that other thing where we're trying to get people softened up, you know, whatever. But if we are really tapping in to the heavenly worship, that word is going forth already. And if you're waiting for a sermon to get the word, you've missed it already. You missed half of it. Like hearing half of the message, you know, you're kind of like, that doesn't make much sense. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
See, the worship and the word are one. It's the same thing. It's just coming out in a different manner.
Right.
Are you with me? Mm-hmm. See, I believe that the Father, He speaks through the worship. He speaks through communion. He speaks through prayer. He Amen. Speaks through. When our girls at church, when our dance team does a dance, it's so powerful. It's like we just, it opens up a whole realm of the heavenlies. That me preaching isn't going to happen, or even Wes leading worship, it's not going to happen that way. And then when they come in with the dance, it's like it opens up something, because it's just it's a different avenue. See, there's diversities of gifts, right? But it's the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but it's the same Spirit. Are you with me?
Amen.
See, the message, the word, the voice, comes out in a lot of different forms, not just the preaching, okay? And there's nothing wrong with preaching, all right? I'm not saying that. Now, there are Sundays when we just don't get around to it, because other stuff happens, you know, the worship, and we pray over people, and we have communion, and sometimes the preaching doesn't happen. Most of the time it does, but sometimes it doesn't. You know, it But the message comes forth. Mm-hmm. I remember one Sunday recently, it was so intense and so powerful that during the worship and we prayed over people, and then when the girls got up for their dance, they usually do a dance like right before the message. They got and they danced the message. Mm. They danced the message, and I said, "We've heard it.
Yeah,
we've seen it. That's the message." And we were done. We weren't really done early because everything else had gone a long time. So, but yeah, that's it. Now keep in mind, the actual music really does not have a lot to do with what I'm talking about, like style of music. It's really just the vehicle that God uses. So we don't want to get too hung up on style. Also, we really don't want to get too hung up on musical perfection, okay? Some of our singers, they're better worshipers than they are singers. So we just kind of turn them down a little bit. Yeah. It's no big deal. You know, God is not that interested in musical perfection. Now, we do want to be proficient enough to where it's not just distracting, you know. But keep in mind, especially for you, bro, keep in mind, if you hit a wrong chord, nobody else really notices. You notice it. Oh, yeah, but it's not that big of a deal, you know. Most people don't know the difference. Most people are musically kind of, you know, challenged. So if you're not hitting musical perfection, don't worry about it. It's okay. Well, it's true. Most people are musically challenged, you know. And it's all right. So don't worry about musical perfection. What you got to really tap into is the heart of the thing. I would rather have somebody that is maybe their voice isn't the greatest, but they're a good worshiper, than somebody who has a wonderful voice and they're like this, you know. Thank you, Lord. You know. Now, keeping in mind though that it's not about a particular style of music, I do want to mention. I know I mentioned it before, and I will say it again. I do believe. Well, it's been proven. There are studies that show that music really has a time stamp on it. I mean, it really does. You play Fog Hat, and suddenly I'm in high school again, okay? You play Stairway to Heaven, I'm in high school. You play another song, and suddenly I'm 20 years back. You play another song. You know, so music does have a time stamp, all right? And I know you love that song that you sang when you first got saved in 1929. I realize that, and that's okay once in a while. But if you prefer a steady diet of stuff that you sang 20 years ago, I'm questioning whether your worship is relevant in what God is speaking today. Because worship is an expression of the truth that God is revealing today. Amen. The truths that came out in the 70s came out in the songs of the 70s. The truths that came out in the 90s came out in the songs of the 90s. You see my
Amen.
Point?
Amen.
So point, and don't, if you're offended, don't, that's your problem. I'm leaving in, you know, about 45 minutes.
That's great.
I play an old song now and then. What, that's that song, Glory, Glory. I mean, we were singing that when I first came to the Lord, you know. And since I'm 30 now,
no,
so that
works. Right. Right. A couple years.
You know, that thing's been around forever.
Get
but you know what?
You.
It's still every now and then it's got some oomph to it, you know. Yeah. But I don't sing it all the time. Because so I said all that to say this. Our music really, because music has a time stamp, it ought to be somewhat relevant to culture, okay?
I don't like that new music.
Well, get over it. You know what? I've got a church full of young people, and when I first started turning the worship stuff over to them, they brought some of these songs, and I would listen to that song, and I'd say, there is nothing in there that I can relate to. There was nothing. But you know, but I would force myself. Mm-hmm. I would force myself to worship to
Amen. Him.
Even though I couldn't relate to it, I would force myself. And you know what? About the third or fourth time, I'm thinking, this song is good. Yeah, and about the tenth time, I'm like, this is my favorite song.
Because it was preaching to you.
Yeah. You know Kim Walker from Jesus Culture? First time I heard her voice, I thought, I cannot stand that woman's voice. Oh, her voice is horrible. I cannot stand that. You know what? She's my absolute favorite now. Because I kept listening, and all of a sudden, then I could hear the heart. And then it started to change. And then my ear started to change. And it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. So I know that we like the old songs, and it's fine to sing them once in a while, but if you have a steady diet of it, friend, you're missing out. Okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm getting some looks like, oh, you're meddling, brother. You're meddling. But really, worship is about becoming the resonant expression of Christ in the earth. The resonant voice. That's really what is to resonate, not to echo. Mm-hmm. Not just to echo. And that's the thing. You know, just because we do a cover of a Jesus Culture song, you know, if all we're doing is covering Jesus Culture, we're an echo, okay? But if we're tapping into, okay, what does God have for us in this particular chord progression or this particular, then we begin to resonate something. You know, and there's some songs that we try that on the CD, they sound awesome, and we try them, and it just stinks. We don't tap into anything. Why? Because that song doesn't happen to be for us. You know, it's okay. So worship is really, it's resonating the voice. Now, what does that resonation sound like? Ah. See, is it simply one note? Is it simply one tone? No. It's lots of different tones. It's lots of different notes. Everybody's... See, when I'm at home, I like to cook. I love to cook. And we've got this pan rack. In fact, go on Facebook. Go on Facebook, and some of my videos of me cooking and teaching at the same time are on Facebook. So, but sometimes when I'm in the kitchen, we got this pan rack there, you know, that's hanging... Well, you can't actually see it from the camera. But anyway, there's a pan rack right here over the sink, and then the stove is here. So at any rate, and sometimes I like to sing and every now and then one of those pans will begin to resonate a little bit if I hit the right note. And see, each pan resonates differently, doesn't it? Now, you and I like the way our pan resonates, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do.
We like the way our pan, because see, maybe you are a big frying pan, okay? And you like the way your big frying pan resonates. And you know when that little saucepan starts to resonate, it kind of irritates you?
Yeah, it doesn't sound the same.
It doesn't sound the same because, man, let's all be frying. Well, we're not all frying pans, okay? We got a whole slew of pans hanging there, and they're all for different purposes. You are all different pans.
Amen.
You're a saucepan.
Yeah.
For sure.
So if somebody else's pan is resonating and it's different than yours, chill out.
Amen.
Chillax, okay?
Chillax.
See, it's the voice of many waters. Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Verse 15. And his feet, like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. His voice is the sound of many waters, or many pans, however you want to put it. Go to Revelation 14, verse 2. I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harp. See, it's the voice of many. So if somebody's not resonating your pan, relax. It's all right. You just resonate your pan, okay? When you go to the orchestra, it's not all just the big, like Alex plays. Alex plays the upright bass. You know, it's not all basses. It would be a little boring. You know,
right.
You have violins, you have violas, you have cellos, you have the whole gamut. And it's the same in the body of Christ. Many tones, one sound, though. Mm. Remember, it's God's kitchen. It's not your kitchen. You're a pan. It's his kitchen. All right? He's the one who fashioned each pan. You might not like the way that Pete's pan sounds, but that's okay. God likes it, because he fashioned Pete's pan. That's Pete's pan, really. Peter Pan! Ah! Pete, I'm sorry, man! that look. You're a lot bigger than I am, but I can run. Okay. Now, let me mention this. Ephesians 4:12 says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Right? Uh-huh. No mention of worship leader in there, is it?
No.
Why is that?
Because we're all worship leaders.
Because the worship leader is really a charismatic invention. Sorry, it is. It's not in the script. If anything, it would fall under the ministry of helps. Psalm 49 verse 1 says, to the chief musician. Now, there are chief musicians. Okay, but here's the difference. Who's really the worship leader? 1 Corinthians 12:28. God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, yada, yada. So musicians are really in the category of helps, okay? I know somewhere along the line in our charismatic theology, we invented things like worship leaders and intercessors, and they are somewhere way above apostles, prophets, evangelists, but that's not the case, okay? That's not Bible, all right? Now, who is the worship leader? I can tell you who the worship leader is. John 4:23-24. And Jesus taught on worship, and he said, but the hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we know that true worship is in spirit and in truth. So, go to John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, here's that same thing. Whatsoever he hears, he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going to receive something and show it. He's going to resonate. Who's the worship leader? It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now there, you got to have somebody that's sort of leading the song. That's the chief musician. Now at our fellowship, Wes and I both, we pass it back and forth. And sometimes, we'll have like three different people. We'll just all kind of pass it back and forth, just as the Spirit leads. In other words, yeah, we got a song list, and sometimes we stick to it, and sometimes we don't. But still, we pass it. In other words, I might be going this direction in a song, but all of a sudden Wes feels something, and he'll step in and take it this direction. You know what? I back off, and vice versa. So the Holy Spirit really is the worship leader, okay? So, if you are a worship leader and I've offended you, well, get over it. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, he's the worship leader. See, the main question we really need to ask ourselves is, are we reproducing a sound, or are we resonating the sound? If we're just reproducing a sound, in other words, we're doing a cover off of the latest, whoever CD. Whatever, that's okay. But we really want to resonate the sound. Now, we can still be doing a cover off of this CD, but if we're resonating the CD, see, it's a heart difference, and it's a not getting bent out of shape about, well, on the CD they did it like this, Who cares? Who cares? Are you with me?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
See, the difference between reproducing a sound and resonating the sound is the source. It's the source of the frequency. If the source of the frequency is this latest CD I got, then you're missing. If the source of the frequency is, wow, I'm tapping into something that God's taken that CD and he's breathed on it in this particular way.
Amen.
See, that's the difference. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. Let me talk for just a second here. We're not going to be real long, but I do want to mention a couple things because there's some physiological aspects of corporate worship. There's a lot of research, real significant research that's been done recently on sound. Doctors, hospitals, therapists, they're beginning to use the technology of what's called psychoacoustics. And we're going to take just a second, and I'm going to bore you with a little bit of facts about brain states. But this will make sense, okay? Now, why should we look at some physiological aspects? I mean, isn't worship all about God? Well, yes, it's all about Him. However, it is a two-way street. In other words, we are part of that equation. We are part of being involved in it, okay? Now, brain state is based on a cycle of brain waves per second, or it's also called the Hertz system, okay? Now, just imagine you're on a pier at the ocean, and you see waves coming in and going out, right? Okay, now, the crest of one wave and to the crest of the next wave, if you measured that, that's the equivalent of a Hertz, okay? So I'm just trying to give you a visual. Sound is waves also. So the crest of one sound wave to the crest of the neck, that is a Hertz or a brain wave, and it could also be called a cycle. All right. If you would count how many waves there would be in a minute, then that would tell you how many cycles or how many Hertz per minute. Right. Now, when you're dealing with electromagnetic pulsations, though, you don't measure them. You measure them in seconds as opposed to minutes. So does this make sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about levels of consciousness. The lowest level of all activity in the brain is called delta. The delta state is it's associated with sleep, ranges from 0.5 to 4 cycles per second. Here, there is a lack of conscious awareness. Okay? People that are in a coma are usually less than 0.5 Hertz, okay? So from 0.5 to about 4 cycles per second, that's the delta, that's sleep. I've been in churches like that, and... just kidding. Okay. Next level is theta. Theta. Now, theta is an interesting state. It's the state of visions and dreams, okay? Now, when someone is in theta, they have no awareness of the external world, but what is lucidly real to them is the internal experience.
Mm.
Now, this particular brain state is real important in developing brain potential. The range of theta is from 4 to 8 cycles per second. Okay, I'm talking about brain waves here. Okay, we're not still on the ocean. It's the ocean in your brain. Okay, so now the next brain state is the threshold between being aware of the external and the internal world. Ah! Now this is called alpha. Woohoo! Alpha ranges from 8 to 13 or 14 cycles per second. It's a real significant state because one is relaxed, but still aware of the external world. Okay? You know that place when you're going to sleep at night and it's so interesting because you're about ready to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, everything gets crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then your wife hits you in the elbow with a rock.
Let's be nice.
Everything is all...
Shake it off.
Even if it's only for a few seconds, it's like everything becomes crystal clear. And I don't know about you, but I get all these ideas and all these concepts and all these thoughts, and then I go to sleep and forget them. The thing about it's an important state in stress management, okay? Also in athletic performance. Ah! See, professional athletes call this the zone.
The zone.
zone.
It's the zone. It's where they can kind of watch themselves from a place of relaxation, a place of really deep. It's alpha is the conceptual, highly creative and meditative state. That's why God says, be still.
Yeah.
Know that I am God. That is why Christian meditation, we had it before the world ever had it, man. Christian meditation is not, that's not, because there, that kind of meditation, you're trying to empty yourself of anything. Well, that's not Christian meditation. You don't empty yourself. What you want to do is you want to fill yourself. You meditate upon the Word. You meditate upon His character, upon who He is. That's it. But this meditative state, it's highly creative. It allows us to grasp concepts real easily. Okay? Now, EEG readings above 14 hertz, those are in the beta range. It also includes K, complex, gamma, super high, ultra high, beta. This is a high state of awareness in the external environment. It ranges up to 150 hertz. So this is when you're cranking. This is the logical, stress-oriented state. It allows us to use verbal language. This is the state where most people live their lives. Most people are in this, we're just cranking, doing our thing. That's where we live most of our lives. So, we got kind of an idea of brain states here, all right? Now, get this. Most musical instruments, and also with the human voice, sound is produced by this. It's produced by oscillations on longitudinal compression waves. In other words, with the string of a guitar, the sound is made when you pluck the string oscillates, okay? When you talk or when you sing, your vocal cords are oscillating, okay? That's the idea, all right? Now, so it's vibrations along this column of air, if you will. Now, these waves, whether it's on an instrument or whether it's in your voice, they produce harmonic overtones and undertones. Now, you and I might not perceive them, but they are there. Harmonic overtones and undertones. Now, get this. When we intently listen to harmonics, and even then resonate those harmonics by singing, here's what happens. The brain begins to shift from beta to alpha. Mm-hmm. Ah. The brain begins to shift from the beta, from the alpha, which one is which? Which one? No. It's we go from the high state. The brain begins to shift into. That's why those people during worship that just sit there and won't sing along. They're missing out. I don't care if your voice is terrible. Who cares? No, you don't have to sing loud. But see, when you begin to resonate, when you begin to sing, there's a physiological thing that happens.
Amen.
Oh. That's why the chief musician is always telling you to get off your blessed assurance and join in with things, because there is a physiological thing, okay, that begins to happen. Well, I don't like to sing. Well, whatever. Miss out. If you want to miss out, go right ahead.
With a congregation that tends to maybe have a religious spirit on them, upon entering the sanctuary.
Rots a ruck.
How do you get them to the point of...
You don't.
Okay.
You
can't.
All right, how about if there are a few in that group?
Oh, God never needs a majority. Okay. If He has two or three, He can get there. If He has one, He can get there. I remember in the old days of... We were going to this just a little denominational church, and I was the worship leader, and I was about the only one getting into it. But you know what? Pretty soon there were a few more that started to catch on, and we never really had a majority, but we had a few that would really tap into something, and things happened. The rest of them kind of stood there and twiddled their thumbs, but hey, that's it. But see, there's some physiology here. See, What that does is that gets the brain out of that state and starts to get you into the alpha state. Is it the alpha or the beta? I gotta look because I'm saying the wrong thing here. It gets you into the alpha. Yeah, the beta is the crazy.
Relax.
The relax, the alpha. And see, that's when the word of the Lord and the song of the Lord comes really easy. You get in that state and all of a sudden it's not so hard to tap into the voice of God, is it? It's because your brain has shifted.
Yeah.
And harmonics. Then, what?
You were saying harmonics have a distinct effect on this?
Yeah, harmonic overtones and an undertone. So even though you're playing an E on that string, there's other stuff going on that's resonating. And then when I begin to resonate that E or whatever, you know, it all starts to, then the brain starts to, go into a different place. That's why when you're in worship, you feel different. Now, if you're just singing songs, you might feel a little happy. Oh, I like that song. But it's different because the brain is doing something different there. You see this?
Amen.
Yeah. Now, it's important. Remember, we're not really just in one brain state. Different EEG patterns can occur simultaneously in different parts of the brain. And different parts of the brain have different functions, okay? Now, left brain coordinates the right side of the body. The right brain coordinates the left side of the body. Now here's the thing. Left brain takes in sight and sound, allows us to understand language, allows us to speak language. This hemisphere of the brain is logical, looks for sequence, very analytical. Now, the right side of the brain does not speak. It has impressions. Right side of the brain doesn't speak. It has impressions. Right side tends to look for paradox, novelty, has more to do with the intuitive part of us that doesn't speak. Now, I find that interesting, that intuitive part, because females are intuitive, but they have a lot more words than us males do.
Yes, we do.
Isn't that interesting? Well, that's because women use both sides of the brain. Women use both sides.
We're practical.
Primarily, men just use one side of their brain, if they use their brain at all.
Well said.
Now, here's the thing. The right side of the brain becomes very enlivened when it hears music. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, research shows that when the right brain hears music without music or sound or music without language, it gets activated. Now, if we have music with words also, then the left side suddenly tunes in. Now, what about when the song of the Lord comes? Then you've got both sides of the brain going. Like what happened here a little bit earlier. That wasn't a song that's been written down now. I was still playing the same chords, okay? But the song of the Lord came, and all of a sudden, both sides of the brain start to be activated. And I've seen where the song of the Lord can do things that a prophetic word can't, that just music can't. Where when the song of the Lord comes, it's like, and see, that is part of what we want to tap into with worship.
Amen.
Where we apprehend we get our brain out of this logical, stress-oriented beta state, and we get into that alpha state. Then we can God, it's easy to hear God, and we begin to resonate that thing. And it's like, stuff happens! Are you with me?
Amen.
Yeah. That's worship. Yes.
I have a question. Is that why, when I first started coming here, I would say to Kim, I see colors in the music.
Sure.
And okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was so confused on that. Instead of hearing the music, I was seeing colors and things. Okay.
Yeah. See, there's physiology to this stuff. It's not just spiritual, although it is spiritual. But we are body, soul, and spirit.
Right.
And God intends for our body, soul, and spirit to all be involved in this thing of worship.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm analytical. I'm all left brain. Well, whatever. You want to live in half your brain? Go right ahead. I want to get the whole thing going here, man.
Amen.
Yeah. And you feel better after your worship. Wow. Why? Because you had a little break from the stress-oriented, analogical. Let's come down out of that stage and let's get into that zone. Let's get into the zone. Yeah. I mean, and that zone, you know, sometimes it's like, I can almost, it's like I'm off to the side watching myself worship, you know. And it's just, it's not an out-of-body experience. Really.
No,
of course, I'd like to be out of this body sometimes. But, you know, at any rate, you know, it's like, let's get into that zone, okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm done. Stand to your feet. Take out your Bible. Oh, I'm going to end with one scripture. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Ha! 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 Stand to your feet. Take out your Bible. Make some declarations. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I'm not going to just live in the beta.
I'm not going to just live in the beta.
I'm going to zone in the alpha.
I'm going to zone in the alpha.
And next time the worship happens,
I
will not stand there and twiddle my thumbs.
I will not stand there and twiddle my thumbs.
Think about what's for lunch.
Think about what's for lunch.
Or all the homework I need to be doing.
Or all the housework.
Or all the other things. I'm going to tune into God.
I'm going to
resonate the voice. My life will be better for it.
My life will be better for it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a